This morning, Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. The glory of God's presence. You know, the scriptures talk about the weight of God's glory. As a matter of fact, the word glory in Hebrew, the word kavod, literally means weight. That's one of the meanings of this word in the scriptures, in the Hebrew. The weight of the glory of God's presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your presence during the worship time now that we've just experienced and so enjoyed. And we pray that our minds would be focused on your word this morning and what you want to say to us through your word today. Thank you, Father, for your presence and the clarity of your word. And may I speak your word clearly this morning. And may we all have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive what you have for us today. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we carry God's presence with us, the weight of God's glory. Can I just break for a minute? Would you mind going to another room in the back there for a few moments? That would be great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. When we talk about the weight of God's glory and His presence, when we experience God's presence increasingly and His glory increasingly, something happens. In essence, we are exercising our faith. We are exercising our faith. Faith grows when it's exercised. Muscles grow when they're exercised. Our lungs capacity is increased when we run and do aerobic exercises. God desires for His people to increase in faith and to grow in faith and to become stronger in faith day by day. Week by week, moment by moment. The result of that is that when we can carry more of His presence, we can be effective in our world. We can be a clear demonstration of God's presence and His glory among us. And when we are operating in that kind of capacity and faith, God is glorified. God desires that every human being have a relationship with Himself. God also desires that every human being will turn back to Him and reflect glory back to Him. So let's get into this passage a little bit in chapter 33 of book of Exodus. In chapter 3, I'm just going to read through, beginning of verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Get going. You and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt, go up to the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." There comes a point at which we have to stop talking and start doing. We have to stop planning and organizing, and we have to start doing. We have to stop thinking and getting one more piece of evidence about who God is and how good He is, and we have to just step into it and move. And put it into action. And then you will see your faith increase even more. If all we do is talk and think, guess what? Nothing happens. And at this point, God is saying, get going. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He promised them that land. We sang about that this morning. Your promises, God, are yes and amen. To us. God's promises are yes and amen to us. So when we read of God's promises in the scriptures, we need to grow and increase in our faith by saying, that's for me too. That's for our church. That's for our city. That's for our neighbor. This is for my sick child. This is for someone who doesn't know God that needs to know God. His promises are yes and amen. We need to increase in our faith so that we can carry the weight of his glory for his sake. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, carrying the weight of God's glory. None of us in and of ourselves can just carry God's glory. We can't. And in the scriptures we find that when people have tried to do that on their own, it's not been a good thing. You don't mess with God's glory, but you steward God's glory in humility and in faith and in confidence. I was thinking of this the other day when I wrote these words down. That Jesus carried the weight of our sin so that we can carry the weight of his glory. We come up with all kinds of excuses as to why I can't do this and why I can't do that. All kinds of excuses as to why I can't step out in faith and pray for someone. Why I can't step out in faith and open my mouth and tell someone about how good God is and what he's done in my life. We have all kinds of excuses as to why we won't come alongside of someone who is suffering and offer a prayer of faith, of healing, for how much God loves that person. We have all kinds of excuses, and a lot of that has to do with because we're still carrying the weight of our sin with us. We see ourselves as unworthy, uneducated with the scriptures, incapable of doing the things that God has asked us to do. Jesus has already taken care of all of that for us. Any experience of God's goodness in your life can be translated into sharing that with someone else so that they can pick up and understand and receive the goodness of God as well and turn the glory over to God. So where was I? Let's go to verse 2. And I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites, and so forth. I'm going to skip ahead a number of verses, but take notice of this. And I will send an angel before you to drive these people out, to drive your enemies out, to drive out that influence of ungodliness before you. I'm going to send an angel to do it. Now let's go down to verse 12. Well, we got to back up. We've got to back up to verse 7. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand at the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And when the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. And inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Now, here's something. When they saw that pillar of cloud, they knew that this represented God's presence, and they were in awe, and they would bow down in front of their own tent. When God's glory, when his presence is known, it requires a response of us, right? It requires a response. Most of the world doesn't understand. That's why when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecostal, there were many people who looked on and they were confused and they mocked. They said, these folks are drunk. They're inebriated. Can't even understand what they're saying. But others said, wait a minute, no, there's something else happening here. We can hear them in our own language. We come from all these different places around. We can hear them in our own language. There's something happening here. When the presence of God comes on God's people, whether it's in a service like this, or sometimes whether you are in your own home privately, or maybe you're with a group of friends and you're praying together and studying the Word of God together, and the Holy Spirit comes and does something special amongst you. Some people will misunderstand. Some people will get confused. Some people will want to run. But that should never deter us from seeking God's presence. And that should never deter us from desiring the weight of His glory to come among us. We sometimes are so afraid of losing our dignity in front of someone else if God's presence comes and His Spirit overtakes us. We're pretty proudful people sometimes. Can I be really honest about this? We're very proudful people sometimes. I look at my own life. There have been times when I've been in meetings and I have so desired a touch from heaven. And it's a funny thing. When I'm with people that I know real well, sometimes I think, but I hope I don't lose control of myself, because I don't want to look foolish in front of people. I don't want to look like a pastor who doesn't know what's going on and has lost control. But when I'm with a group of people, we're on the same journey together, desiring God's presence, and we just simply want God's presence, and we put self on the shelf. It doesn't matter. God is God. When we prepare for worship on a Sunday morning, can we begin to take our minds and train our minds so that when we come to worship service on Sunday morning, we come expecting to meet with God corporately, that we hear His voice, and when we worship Him, we see Him mighty and lifted up. That takes discipline. That's part of training ourselves spiritually to seek God in all of His fullness and to allow Him to touch our lives. On verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me." Well, he did earlier. He said, "I'm going to send an angel." "You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor." Is that your desire this morning? That you would know God's ways? That word ways is far more than just observing from a distance. The people of God had been observing God's actions, His activities, and it was pretty up close. I mean, when the God of creation rolls back water and sends you across on dry land and basically dissolves your enemies in front of you, and when the God of heaven would provide daily food, daily sustenance, and when the God of heaven would provide shoes that didn't wear out, clothes that didn't wear out, for 40 years, God was displaying His goodness all the time for these folks. And yet for many, many people, it was all at a distance. It's sort of like, that's our God, and He does this for us. But Moses was getting to the point of saying, "I want to know your ways." In other words, God, I want to know what motivates you to be who you are. I want to know what's going on inside of your mind inside of your heart. I want to see you for who you really are. Why do you do the things you do? We probably never understand the how in this life because God is so magnificently far beyond us. But God, why? Why do you do the things you do? What's your heart on these matters? Let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Man, that ought to be a prayer of ours on a daily basis. Hey? And remember that this nation is your very own people. And so the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses. I can only imagine Moses in hearing the Lord say that. I think that was the answer he was looking for. And I can just imagine a sense of relief and anticipation and excitement. Oh, I was hoping you'd say that. And I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Don't you need reassurance once in a while? Don't you need reassurance once in a while in your own personal faith journey that God's actually with you? That he's showing you some things and he's using you and he's leading you? There are times, for whatever reasons, where I seem to be blinded by what God has been doing. And times when I've gotten selfish and I've thought to myself, I've been serving God for a lot of years. Has it really been worth it? Has God really used me? Have I made any difference to anybody in the churches that I've pastored? Last week, like a week ago, I went through one of those moments where I was asking those questions. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was having a little pity party. But God is so kind. And when I was having that little pity party, I just said to God, God, please, you got to show me. You've got to show me. Have I made a difference for your kingdom? You have to show me. Now, you can't force God to do anything, and I know that. But that was a desire. God, I'm having a pity party moment. Please, please encourage me a little bit. And you know, it was later that day I met someone out and about. This person called my name, came running over, gave me a huge hug, and began to tell me things about the ministry together with this person. And as I turned to leave, I heard that little voice say, there's one. And then Terry and I went to a prayer meeting Sunday evening. And this last Sunday evening. And after that event, we were leaving the event, and there was another woman there from another church where I had pastored here in the city. And she came over to me, and she said, Pastor Larry, I just have to say something to you. Remember when my marriage was falling apart? And remember that night? And there was boys' club, and I would go to boys' club with our son Nick at that point. And she had a son the same age as my son, Nick. And her marriage was in jeopardy, and there were abuses taking place. She was in danger physically and emotionally, same with her son. And so we had arranged that right after boys' club, she had taken her luggage, everything she would need and her son would need for a period of time, and I took them in my vehicle, and I drove them to a safe place, another woman from the church, and got her set up there in a safe place and was in contact with her for a period of time. And she says, do you remember when you did that? I'd forgotten about that. It's like, yeah, I do. And then she began to unfold her story of now her son is 24 years old and is buying his own place. And they're doing well. They're safe and sound and growing spiritually. It's just that kind of thing where, so we turn to leave there, and it's like the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's another one. Maybe you need some of that reassurance once in a while. Because this world throws a lot of stuff at us. And anytime we step out to want to evidence God's favor in our lives, to give glory to Him, the enemy wants to come along and rob it. He's a thief, and he will do that. Maybe an exercise you need to go home to increase your faith today is to go home and make a list of the things, the times, the experiences where you know God has intervened in your life and used you and blessed you and poured out His favor on your life and loved you and reminded you of how special you are and how forgiven you are and how great you are and just how much He loves you. You know, that increases faith within us. Well, let's continue on here. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all people on the earth. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That God's presence among His people sets us apart. God's presence with you sets you apart from other people. And it's never to say, hey, look at me. I got it. You don't. It's never that attitude. We walk through this life with humility, but with confidence that God is with us, that God is living within us, His Spirit resides within us, and we have at our access everything of heaven, every tool, every resource of heaven for doing the things that He's calling us to do. It's all there. Just as it was for the nation of Israel at every turn, it is for us today. The Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? God knows your name. God knows who you are. He looks favorably on you, sister and brother. And He desires to see you apprehend by faith all that He has for you so that your life is lived extraordinarily. And I'm not talking about just now we all got to come a type A driven personality and just go crazy and knock ourselves out and do everything in the world. It's talking about hearing God's voice like we've spoken of before. And discerning what it is God is calling us into. And then having the confidence that we step out in faith, even though we don't yet see or completely understand everything, that heaven is right along with us, that God's presence is right along with us. I've shared this story before, but that one time I was in Tofield, central Alberta. And I know that God told me to walk into this particular pub, this bar. I had never really done that before. To be honest, I was one of those guys that grew up in an environment where that was so foreign to me. And yet God asked me to do that. I'm not going to go into all of the details. It would take too long this morning. But I knew I had to go because that place was open one night when I needed a bathroom. Driving down the highway. I've told that story before. It might be new to some of you. And when I went into that place, late one winter night, blowing and cold outside, embarrassing myself because I had to stop for a bathroom stop. We had people from our church in the van with us. My guts were churning, and I had to find a potty. And as I walked into that place, the only place that was open on Highway 14 at that time of night, between Edmonton and where we lived in Holden, I saw faces again. And when I walked past those faces, I saw people and I saw hearts and I saw that God loved them so much. And I knew I had to do something. The idea came, Buy a bouquet of flowers and take it to that place and give it to the proprietor. And in my spirit, I saw a young woman who was the proprietor of that place. I knew what she looked like, and I knew how she would be dressed. I didn't think anything else. And so I did that, and I went in. But as I was going in the door, suddenly the reality hit me. I could look really stupid now. I could look really foolish. What on earth am I doing? And I just simply breathed that little prayer. God, you're coming with me. Because I'm not going in here alone. And he did. And it wasn't a scary experience. As a matter of fact, it was joyous. Because as I walked through the door, I saw this young woman dressed just like I had pictured in my mind. And she was the proprietor. And I got into a conversation with her. And I got into a conversation with a couple of other older gentlemen who were already enjoying the mid-afternoon schnapps of some kind. And we had quite a conversation. And as soon as I walked out the door, suddenly the thought came, what if it wasn't a young lady who was the proprietor of this place? What if it was a 6'5" gorilla who would have been looking at me and I had a bouquet of flowers? The kindness of God kept that thought from my mind. We got to move on. So then Moses responded to all of this. He said, then show me your glorious presence. Show me your glory. And the Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. There should be a correlation in our thinking here. Moses asked to see the glory of God, and God said, I will show you, I will make all my goodness pass in front of you. All of his goodness. The weight of God's glory is the accumulated goodness of God. And it's immeasurable. It's absolutely immeasurable because God is good. God is capable of only producing good. That's his nature. His nature is love, and his nature is goodness. And he wants to give to us that same nature so that we can carry it well to show the world around us how good God is, how absolutely and utterly good God is, regardless of our circumstances. Regardless. Stuff happens to all of us. But God's goodness happens to all of us too. So he said, I'll make my goodness pass in front of you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you can't look at me directly at my face, for no one can see me and live. And the Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. And if the back of God was overwhelming to Moses, what will it be like someday when we see God face to face? We know that when God visited and talked with God face to face, so to speak, person to person, it really warmed him. He came out glowing. And that frightened people. They said, cover yourself. We can't deal with this. We don't know what to do with this. In our world today, I believe God wants to unfold his glory and his goodness more and more and more and more and more. Because our world so desperately needs to see the goodness of God. God is blamed for everything bad under the sun. Even our media today tends to blame God for a lot of things. It's hard for us to account God the goodness in life, but we sure like to blame him for the bad things. We forget that God is only and utterly good. May it be for us this morning in Psalm 27:13, it says, "Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living." Do you look for the Lord's goodness while you are still living in this life, in this world? Is that part of your optic nerve center where you're looking for good? You're looking for the goodness of God so that you can live that out and pass it on to other people. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, "So all of us who have had that veil removed," now talking about the veil of the Old Testament laws, so to speak. The law is still the law. But the law had been used in ways that were not helpful for people. The law pointed out sin in people's lives. Grace points out God's kindness and goodness and forgiveness. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. You and I are meant to see, experience, and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. The desire of Jesus when He prayed the high priestly prayer in John 17 don't have time to read through all of it. But verse 22, "I have given them the glory," believers, "I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one." Moses had the right question and the right desire. Teach me your ways. Show me your ways. I want to have a relationship with you where we become intimate, not only intellectually, but heart to heart. God, help me understand who you really are. You have people in your life that you have that kind of understanding with. If you're married, usually that's your spouse, first and foremost. Children begin to do that with their parents. They want to know who mom and dad are. So they ask mom and dad to tell them things, show them things, teach them things, tell me stories. Our Heavenly Father so desires to open up His heart to us. And it's a faith journey. It's a faith journey. He has so much to show us and so much to show the world through us. "I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." That's talking about God's presence in us. As it was in the days of Moses with the cloud and the fire, knowing God's presence. So that's the heart of Jesus as He's praying this to His Heavenly Father. May we be so infused in their lives with such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. I think it ought to be the course of every activity in our lives. Any decision we're making, whether it's on an individual or a couple, a family, whether it's business, whether it's pleasure, whether it's a church, in our I don't like calling them business meetings, ministry meetings. Well, we're talking about God moving and living amongst us and moving us out and doing His ministry. It ought to be our desire that we don't take a step unless we know God is with us. But we can have the assurance that God is with us without knowing exactly what we're stepping into at times. All we need to know, God, are you with us? Are you in this and are you in us and with us in this journey? And then we move forward in whatever God is asking of us in these days. The goodness of God. Rick, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I talked to Rick. I heard this story from Rick. part of our life, a whole lot of our life. God, all of our life, from one end to the other, from birth to death, can be an opportunity for us to live in such a fashion that we display the glory of God in our lives. No matter what happens to us. Right, Rick?
Amen.
Amen. We're in agreement. Good to see you this morning. This is Rick Mann. This is Rick Mann. And Kathy, his wonderful wife.
Amen.
Your way better half.
Better looking. Too.
We all know that already. You didn't have to say that. But, but anyways, you know, Rick, you told a story. I think it was the night of the annual meeting, around a little table, and in the edge, and that caught my attention. And I thought, Rick, you need to share this testimony, for a number of reasons. When God does something miraculous in a person's life, it's important for us to let the cat out of the bag, because we want to reflect God's goodness in our life and give it back to God. That's part of it. But the other part is this, that we need to hear one another's stories to know how it is God sometimes touches our life and what to do in different circumstances so that we can grow in our assurance and in our faith of God's presence, of God's glory, and his favor on our life. So why don't you just take a moment and share that story with us.
Okay. Actually, this story has two parts, and I'll just quickly share the first part and then get to the second part. The first part was actually a year and a half ago, I was with my grandkids, and we were playing soccer at a school just Sunday afternoon after church, and there was this depression in the ground, and it was about a foot deep and about 6 feet wide. While I was running backwards, you know, to stop my grandson from scoring a goal, and I went right into this gully or this depression and smacked my head really, really hard. And I lost balance. I could not walk. Kathy had to help me find a spot to sit down, she had to call my daughter-in-law because we had walked there and to get me home. And so for 4 days, I was not able to work. I was in just laying in the basement. And when I would look at the wall or whatever, there would be patches missing in the wall. And actually, Mark Reinhardt, I was talking with him after sharing that with him, and he said that was like silent migraines. And it's very serious. Well, anyway, our daughter-in-law was actually, we had talked to them about the healing rooms, and our daughter-in-law was going that week to take our grandkids, because one of our grandkids had fallen and hit his head a few times. Maybe it runs in the family, I don't know. Anyway, and he was having severe headaches, and so she was taking the grandkids. They're here with us this morning, and Kathy said she was going, and she asked if I would want to go, and I said, yes, I want to go. So I went, and they prayed for each of us, and you know what? The Lord, instantly the symptoms began to leave. Like, I could see clearly after that, and the next day, I felt so good in the morning. We were actually going to be doing a rubber stone driveway, and so I thought, well, I'll go and see how much I can help. I was able to trawl for 8 hours on my knees without any symptoms, and I couldn't even be outside. It was for other 4 days, and then that was Friday, and then Saturday the symptoms started to return, and I just said, Lord, I just thank you for the healing. I do not accept these, and I just rebuke them in the name of Jesus, and I never had any symptoms after that. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage you, you know, if you have a need, like we have, the Bible says, if any is sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. And we have something available to us. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward to last month, 4 weeks ago, we were in Sedona. And we love to hike. And we were hiking in this, it was called Red Rock Canyon. We had hiked there the year before. And you have to call across a stream 13 times on rocks and logs to finish the hike and then do the same thing coming back. Well, it had snowed a couple days before we did this hike, and we got to the sixth crossing, and I stepped on a rock, and it was ice on it, and I just went, whoosh, and I came down right on my temple on a rock, and I didn't have time to stick out my hands or anything. And by God's grace, we were able to walk out because we were in about a mile, and there's no cell reception or anything. But as we were going back, the pressure in my head was growing, and I'd really hurt my knee really bad as well, and my neck muscles were becoming ropes, and I was starting to feel like the same symptoms were happening again. And we stopped at a grocery store, and Kathy was going in to get some Epsom salts that I could have a soak when we got back, as I was freezing cold as well, because it was a very cold stream, a very cold creek. And anyway, I was just sitting in the car, and I just all of a sudden I said, Lord, you know, you are an almighty God. How should I pray? And right away, the word popped into my head was trauma. And so what I did was I just broke off the trauma of that accident off the side of my head, because I was bleeding. I mean, I was bleeding on the side of my head. My ear had split open. And I asked the Lord to heal. I just broke off the trauma off my side of my head and off my neck and off my knee. And I also asked the Lord to heal, you know, like your cells remember stuff that happens to you. So I asked the Lord to heal the cell memory of that accident from my cells. And immediately, the pain in my knee was gone. The pain in my head just lifted. My muscles in my neck just totally loosened off. Like I did not have another symptom from that the whole rest of the time. And we love hiking, and that would have been just heartbreaking to be stuck in a room. But God is so good. And Pastor asked if I would just pray. And like to pray over the congregation after I shared, and right away, you know what the Lord said? I didn't know what he was going to speak on. He said, you need to pray that the Lord will cause their faith to grow. And what he's been speaking about, and just about God's goodness. And another thing the Lord asked me to share before I pray is, a little while ago, we were on our way out to Maple Creek, and we were going to be part of a ministry team with Ancient Paths. It's kind of similar to kind of Living Free, and we're going to be part of a ministry team. And we were praying on the way out, and all of a sudden, this song came into my heart. And so I was humming it away, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And I was singing it, and in my heart, and the Lord says, "Well, do you actually know what that means?" I thought, well, obviously not. And so I said, "Lord, what does it mean?" He said, "It's not you trying to create joy. It's understanding my joy over you. It is my joy." He says, "I delight in you. I delight in my children. I love them." And the Lord delights in you. He never is looking at us, you know, crossly. He loves us. And when we have that benediction where the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace, like what the Lord is saying is the Lord, look, that's a present thing. He says, the Lord blesses. And like, the Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord makes his face to shine on you. It's his delight over you, his joy over you, and he gives you his peace. Like, we can pray that over ourselves every day. We're just gonna pray a blessing over you, and if you have a need, I think there's gonna be opportunity for ministry after. But let's just bow our heads before the Lord. Father God, I just I thank you for how you just delight in ministering your grace and mercy into our lives, and how you love us, how you delight over us. And Lord, I just pray for each person here this morning that you've given each one of us a measure of faith. And we just need to put that in the right place. We just need to put that in you and in your love and in your grace and in your power. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind to put our faith in the right place. And Lord, I just pray for faith to just rise in this place, Lord God, and our confidence in you, and to know that you are with us and you never leave us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rick, for sharing that. Can we give the Lord a hand for this story? And yeah. God, you're amazing. You're amazing. And how God met Rick in those instances is how God can meet you, even today. And maybe it's not a physical thing. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe you've had a break emotionally. God wants to touch you and bring healing to you. Maybe it's something else, relationally, spiritually. God just wants to come and envelop you and hold you and tell you, just like he did Moses, I'm going to be with you and it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. Maybe you need that this morning. I'm going to ask Ken and Carol and Gerhard and Hilma, would you be available to come and pray? Would you come up to the front, and Terry and myself? If anyone, and Rick, would you come? And if you're interested, Kathy, that would be awesome. Anyone who would just love to have someone come and pray with them in faith, declaring healing over your life. You just come. God is here. There's not just a little bit of God. God is here fully. And he just wants to pour out his love and his kindness over your life today. So as we sing together, you're going to lead us in another song, I think. Can you do that? While we do that, let's sing, let's worship. And anyone wants to come forward while we're singing, you come forward, and we'd be delighted to pray over your life. Let's do that together.